Be'ez Hashem Mizbeach, we begin the Perek Chamish Ve'Esrim, the 25th and final Perek in the Rambam's Hilchas Isha, the Laws of Marriage, in the Sefer of Nashim, which relates to the previous Perakim regarding the rights or the losing of the rights of the Ksuba, and here as it relates to that of having vows or blemishes. Some of these Rambam is going to discuss in this Perek is regarding if someone just marries a woman unspecified and he finds out that she has Nedarm, she has vows or mumen or blemishes, and if she sees Dam at the time of Tashmish when they have marital intimacy, or if she develops other blemishes, regarding a man, if he develops mumen blemishes after Nisun, after they get married, and regarding how that relates to the Yavam, if he has the same blemish that her husband had. So we begin, Halacha Aleph of the Rambam opens up with the claims of if the spouse has, if the woman has vows or blemishes. So the Rambam, Hanoisi Isha Stam, if someone gets married to a woman unspecified, Nadarm, turns out she has vows that she had taken. Halacha is Tetzib Leksuba. He could divorce her without giving her a Ksuba. Now he has to give her a get because the condition was Stam, but he could divorce her without a Ksuba. And she doesn't get Leikiv Leksuba. It's not the primary, not the addition, because she should have revealed to her husband that she had vows. Now, Be'elin Dar Mama, which vows are we talking about? Shalei Tichel Basav. She swore that she's not going to eat meat. Or Shalei Tish Dayan, or she's not going to drink wine. Or Shalei Tiskash Min Savayim, or she's not going to put on certain types of jewelry and certain types of clothing, which those are what's called Nidra in the Nefesh. It afflicts the soul. A person is in a state of disgrace when they can't do one of these things. V'adin L'shar Minim, or it's not only regarding these types of colored clothing, it's all these types of things. Shadel Kol Nesham Makom L'Skash Bim, that normal women usually adorn themselves with. And she swore she's not going to. Those things, he could divorce her without giving Ksuba. Av nimtzala neda acha, what's made of it? If she happened to have taken some other vow except for these things, lo yivsi the klum, then she has not lost anything, because he's not particular if it's not a neder of yin nefesh. Halacha beis. V'chein ha-koynes isha stam, so if someone marries a woman unspecified, v'nimtza ba mum, mi mum mi ha-noshim shekvar ba'arnim, and he then discovers, which is one of the blemishes of the women that we already explained in Perek Zion, that's considered a blemish by the woman, and the husband didn't know anything about this blemish. Did he hear about it and be agreeable to this? Or is it Tetzib Leksuba? So you can divorce her without Leksuba. Leksuba Leksuba is not the primary, not the addition. Ketzad, how so? So the Rambam qualifies. He says, Hoy Merchatz Be'ir, if there was a bathhouse in the town, Voylikroy, we had relatives in town, then Eina Yochalemi cannot say, Lo Yadati Mumnil, I didn't know about these blemishes. But for the Mumin Shabbosay, so even though these are concealed blemishes, Mneshu Baidik Be'krei Vaisa, because he checks her out with his relatives, and we can presume that he had known about this because they checked her out in the bathhouse and people are in the state of undress. So he knew about it and he was okay with this. And what he's saying right now is not true. Now, there's no bathhouse in town. Or he didn't have relatives. Then he could claim he didn't know about these concealed blemishes. Now, the nichbim, and the woman is had epilepsy where you just suddenly collapse on the ground. But it was be'itim yidum. It was at designated times, meaning it comes at certain times which she knows, and therefore she can be careful then not to go outside on the street. So this is considered concealed blemishes, which again he could claim he didn't know about because she knows when to go out and when not. But regarding revealed blemishes, in he cannot claim that, oh, I didn't know about this. Everyone sees her, but they would tell him. There's a presumption over here that he heard about it and he was okay with it. And as Ram explained, a known thing is, this is only regarding the revealed blemishes, which he cannot have claimed he didn't know about, is only the places where the custom of the women is that they go in the street with their faces uncovered. And everyone knows this, and they tell him, that's the daughter of that person, that's the sister of that person. Like the cities of Edom in Rome and today, where the women go with their face uncovered. So that's the way it's going to be a revealed blemish, where he cannot have a claim. Which is like in the Arabian countries, which is that the girls, they don't go out into the street at all. And more than just that, if they are covered. He says if their face is uncovered, so then you know about it. But then the Rambam talks about places where actually they don't even go out at all. And even if the girl's going to go out to the bathhouse, it's going to be at nighttime. She's going to go out in this concealed state. Leroy saw them, and no one's going to see her. Except for her relatives. Then he could actually claim, even if it's revealed blemishes, that he didn't know about this. Now, but again, that's only Shlohi Shal Merchatz, but there's no bathhouse. And that he didn't have a relative to check her out. But if there was a bathhouse, even if it's even though it's a type of place that the women don't go out with their faces uncovered, But if Yeshua Karevi has a relative in the Ochlidni, he cannot make such a claim. Sharakal Rainer said Rumba Merchitz, because everyone sees her undressed in the bathhouse and he would have known about it. Now, Vimdarkan, Lisnakur, Lishabi, Avimerchitz, but there are ways to be secretive and to conceal themselves even in the bathhouse. And Vishthiya, Basrachetz, Balayla, and this girl, she bathes at nighttime, or in some small little room in the bathhouse by herself, Ashley Turan, until no one ever saw her, and no one knows anything about her. Then he can make a claim, even by revealed blemishes. And says Rambam, Dvarim Elu, Dvarim Shaltanim. These ideas that we're saying over here are ideas of reasoning. Because it's not biblical commands. Again, it's just from logic. And to say, could we say he knew about it or not? If he could make such a claim right now to say, hey, it's a Mekach Tois or not. Now, Halacha Gimel, how you mix the Gaonim? Some of the Gaonim, they ruled, that's the post-Talmudic rabbis before the days of the Rambam, the Rishonim. Shazesh HaMachacham, they said, this is what the sages said. Neshu Baidi Bekrei Baisa, because, oh, he could check with his relatives and he would have known, therefore we could presume that he knew and he was okay with it. So the Gainim, some of the Gainim wanted to say, in a Kerei Baisa B'Vas, not only if he had female relatives, even if he just had acquaintances. And actually, even if they lived in a town that he had no relatives at all. And Miesha Merchitz, if he did the bathhouse in town, in the Yochalitin, he could not ever make a claim, even regarding Mumin Sheba Seser. Shev Shishli Lirim, it's not possible that he doesn't have some acquaintances. And he's going to tell one of his friends, Shetivikla Yishli, let his wife check her out, or a chaser, or a sister, or a plaintiff regarding that woman. Well, look at Cheskos, Shemav, and the spies, and then we can presume that he really heard about it, and he really was okay with it, and that he could not make such a claim. But says the Ram, but it does not seem to be correct to me, this halacha of some of those going. Because not everybody can tell these emotional things to anybody, even friends, only to relatives would he be comfortable saying and to have them check her out to see what's her body like. So therefore, it's not true. He could make the claim, and he maybe did not hear about this. Even if he'll have other people check her out, he doesn't really rely on them. His relatives, he knows to rely on, and therefore that's why the Ram disagrees and says, no, if he didn't have relatives, he could make the claim on the Mumin Shabbos Eser. Now, says Ram Halacha Dal Ketzri times the Mumin. How does this claim of blemishes work? If these blemishes that we found on her are Mumin Shevadi Hoyeba Kodin Shabbos Eser, that we know for sure she had before they got engaged, could go in, for example, Etzbi Yisayru, Ketzbi, that she had another digit in her hand, or things like that, which obviously these are congenital, she was born with this, and they only discovered it after they got married. So then the onus of proof is on the father of the girl to bring proof that the husband did know about it and that he was okay with it. Or at least that there's a presumption that he knew about it. For example, let's say there was a blemish on her face where we know he for sure knew, and therefore if he went ahead with the marriage, he obviously was okay with it, and he's not believed to say, oh, I didn't look, I didn't see, I didn't know. No. Now, vimlohevi raya, if the father cannot bring proof, takes a blemish to a claw, then the husband could divorce. So without a ksub at all. Now, but let's say it's a blemish that could be developed after they got engaged. It's not like an extra finger where you know it was there when she was born. So, if you only discovered after she'd already come into the house of the husband, then it's on the husband to bring the proof, that it was there before they got engaged even, and that it was a mistaken acquisition. But if they discovered on the girl, even after the engagement, and it could have been to happen after the engagement, but they discovered in the father's house before she's brought to the husband's house. The father has to bring proof that it happened only after they were engaged because of what the Talmudic dictum of Kanimtsu Kanhoyu. If we find it over here, we presume it was over here, which the father is in the house of where before she got engaged, and therefore the onus of proof is on him, whereas if we find it by the husband's house, then we presume it happened over there, and the onus of proof is on him. And then if the father could bring proof, then we say that, it happened after the engagement, and therefore, like, his field gets flooded, meaning to say it's the bad mazel of the husband that caused it, but when you got engaged, she didn't have it, and therefore, it's not a mekach tais, and therefore, he cannot divorce her without a ksuba. Halacha hey, v'abal roya, let's say the husband brings proof, he can bring proof that she had this blemish before they got engaged, or they agree, they admit to him that the blemish was there. But the heavy of Raya should have shasik in the spice. But the father brings proof. He says, "Yeah, but you knew about this and you saw and you were okay with it." Oishah cheskasa should have been in the spice. Oh, we have a presumption that a chazaka that shows that the husband did know about it and that he was agreeable. For example, like if the blemish was on her face, we know for sure that it was there. Or if there's a bathhouse in town, hareza chayv b'ksuba. Then he's obligated to ksuba because although it was there, but he was agreeable and therefore it's not considered mekich tais. He has to give her ksuba. Halachavav, baal ishtoi. Let's say he cohabits with his wife, and he's with her already many days, and then he claims, oh, I didn't know of this blemish up until now, I just discovered it. So it says the Rambam, even though it's within the folds of her body, it could be he never saw that blemish. It becomes a regular, or it's on the sole of her foot. Why would you see that? We don't listen to him because chazaka, there's a presumption, a euphemistic, that a man does not drink from a cup until he first checks it out good. Rather, there's a presumption that if he had beer with her, he knew about it, and he was agreeable with it, and then we cannot claim that it was a mekach tois. Halacha zayin. Now the Rambam moves on to another type of a blemish, of a woman does not have a set period. Hanaisa isha, someone marries a woman. She does not have a set time for her menses, for her period, for the menstruation, which a woman generally gets like once a month, she gets her dam nida. She does not have a set time. Ella rather, she doesn't even realize by herself until she actually starts menstruating, the blood of the nida starts coming out. So, such a woman, she could only have marital intimacy with her husband if she has two cloths, that she inspects herself by the general area. One is before marital intimacy to check if there's dam nida so that she shouldn't have relations. One's after because maybe she did have dam at the time of tashmish. And that's chutz min ha'ichel ish, shemekanech ba'atzma, that's besides the cloth that the man uses, that he wipes himself after tashmish, k'mesh ha'bar b'hilchas yisurabili, like Rambam is going to explain the laws of forbidden cohabitation in Perek Da'aloch Dezayin, that the Rambam says that after bia, both of them have to wipe themselves, him and her. Now, alocha ches, the ava bishem mum gadol huzeh, now, although what we mentioned in the previous alocha, it's a big blemish because they can't have intimacy before they do all these bedikas, still, life see the klum. She has not lost anything from her ksuba or from all the other rights that she had, because shari bedekas atma tchil mishamesh, because she could check herself. She could do a bedika before bia and have marital intimacy, so she's going to fulfill all her roles as a wife. Now, however, harisha bodka atma b'nev alma. What happens if, let's say, she checks herself, she has bia, so she didn't see dam, ube'isha kincha atma, but then when she subsequently wipes herself, hi v'hu nimtza dam alei chala. He and her find blood either on her cloth or on his cloth. This happens one time after another consecutively, three times, right, one after the other. Such a woman is forbidden to stay married with her husband because she has what's called a chazaka, a presumption to see dam at the time of tashmish, and therefore she's going to be having intimacy every time as a nida. So he can divorce her without a ksuba. It's not the primary, not the additions, because there's no greater blemish than that. That he can't have beer with her because we presume she's going to have dam machmas tashmash. And vein lo tnai mitznoi ksuba, she does not get any stipulations of the conditions of the ksuba. Shareiner lo tashmash, because not fit for marital intimacy, he begets b'leyach l'olim, and he divorces her, and he can never remarry her. Why? So Rambam explains, why is it forbidden? Because Hashem mitzvah rabbi, because maybe she might get healed, so why is that forbidden? Maybe then he should be able to. No. Because v'nimtza, it would come out, shleigom l'garsha b'shas gerishin. If he knows he can remarry her, that maybe he didn't conclusively divorce her when he was divorcing her. And the problem is, in the interim period, when he did divorce her, she's going to marry someone else, and he's subsequently going to claim. He says, well, if I knew that you could be healed, and you wouldn't have, I would never divorce you with the love of my life. And, oh, what's going to come out is that means the get was null and void, because it wasn't, so to speak, a real get. So the children she has from her second husband wasn't really a husband, and they were mamzim, they're illegitimate children. So but they tell him, say, look, this is the situation, make up your mind. If you divorce her, you can never remarry her, and therefore, if he's not going to have marital intimacy, he divorced her and he could never remarry her. Now, but she is permitted to marry someone else. Why? Isn't she really machmas tashmish? Because like the euphemism is, all etzbois, all fingers are not the same. Maybe she won't see by the second husband, maybe his aver will not cause her to be right down machmas tashmish. Like when I explained the concepts, when we talk about the laws of nida, and hechas esir be in Perek Dal. Now, halakha test says around the medvim, when do we say this? This is only that it's a blemish and he could divorce her, only if it was like this from the beginning when they got married. The first time that bia, she saw dam. But if this illness happens to her only after she got married, then we see what's called nistach for sedeyu, his field got flooded, meaning she's his field, so to speak. His bad mazel caused it that she should be like this because it wasn't the first time they got married. Therefore, in bol pamachas blenim to dam, if they had bia one time and there's no dam, and then every time after that, subsequently, she ends up seeing dam every time they have marital intimacy. So yeah, Yaitzi, he has to divorce her because she's not fit to be married to him because she's always an isenida. But v'yidin ksuba kula, but he has to give her the entire ksuba because it's not her fault. It's nastach v'stei, it's his bad nozzle. But he can never remarry her, like we explained, because of the problem of the man that she's going to remarry and the children from that. Halacha Yud. V'chein isha shenolda b'mumen achash, and this is also a similar case, is let's say she develops blemishes only after she was married. She comes out with some type of afal nasim mukashchin. Even she becomes smitten with boils, she becomes like a mitzaraz, a leper. Imrutz l'kayim yikayim, if he wants to stay married to her, he can stay married to her. He wants a divorce, he has to give her the ksuba, because again, this is Nechvas Sadeu. Although it's blemishes with her, but it's so to speak his mazel, because she's his kinyan, and therefore he would have to give her the ksuba. Now the Rambam continues now with the blemishes that a man has. Halacha Yiral, if a man develops blemishes after he married her, even if his hand gets cut off, or his foot, or becomes blind in his eye, the woman doesn't want to stay married with him, don't force him to divorce and give her the ksuba. Elamratza, rather, if she wants to, Tesha, she can stay married him. Vimlayratza, if she does not want to, then yes, Tetabla Ksuba, he has to divorce her, but without a Ksuba, because then Kalmarad, it's like any woman who's rebellious and she refuses, says, I'm disgusted, everything, so we force him to divorce, but he doesn't have to give the Ksuba. Now, Avlamnoyle Recha Peb, let's say he develops a really bad mouth odor, a Recha Chaitim, or a bad smell from his nose. It's a Chazalukat says, he goes back to gathering the dung, the excrement from dogs, which they would use it to launder clothing, and they would soak there for a day or two. Oh, he locks up Nachesh Mikara, or he mines copper from the copper mines, which these all have very strong smells. Elabit Oris, or to tan the hides, which is working with the animal skins. Then we force him to divorce her, and we give her a ksuba, because all these are disgusting professions, as you can say, I can't take the smell, the bad smell, or have his body, his mouth, his nose, and v'mratza, but if she wants to teishim b'alot, she could remain married with her husband. Because in contrast, in the lachiyot beis, nasa ish mukashchin, let's say the man becomes a leper. He's filled with boils all over his body. Then actually, we force him to divorce her and to give her the ksuba. And here, in contrast to the previous halacha, even if she wants to marry him, in Shemela, we don't listen to her, we force them to separate, because when she has relations with him, it actually causes pieces of his flesh to come off. Now, if she says, I'll stay with him, but with witnesses, that he should not have relations with her, because the witness will stop them, then Shemuel then would listen to her, because again, then you're not going to run into the problem of her causing his flesh to come off when they have relations. Now, Halachi Gimel, Misha Yabala Bal Recha Peh. Now, if her husband had a bad breath, or smell from his nose, or Malachi says, Klavim, or gathering the excrement from dogs, okay, it's been in those cases, like we said in the prior Halacha. Now, Umeis, and he dies, and now she falls in front of his brother because he doesn't have any children, and there's Allah of Yibmur Chalitza. And now the brother has the same blemish that the husband had. He's in the same profession. So then she could say, I was able to tolerate your brother. Because by the brother, if she wants to, she can stay married to him. If she doesn't, she could divorce him to give her the ksuba. But even if she stayed married to the husband, she could make the claim that him I was able to tolerate, but you I cannot tolerate. The yachlitz, and therefore he has to do chalitza. The yidin ksuba, and he has to give the ksuba, meaning we don't force her to either do yidin or to lose her ksuba. And the next line, which is a pasuk in Tehillim, which seemingly is actually a later addition to end on a good note, is urei vanim levanecha, and you should see children to your children. Shalom al Yisrael, peace on the Jewish people, which alludes to what the Gemara says in Ksuba Dav Nun, that when your children have children, that peace on the Jewish people, when you have grandchildren, that you know it's not going to come to Chalitza and Yibim, because if your son left over a son, then the Alman is never going to need Yibim and Chalitza, and that's going to be Shalom al Yisrael. Sliku Hilchasichas, we have concluded the halachas of marriage. Baruch Achman Desayim, blessed is Hashem, who assisted us and helped us to learn up until this point.